Hey, what's happening, guys? Welcome to another exciting episode of the Junk Talk. Today, I'm going to be going off a little off script today, guys, and just talking about the review on yesterday's games in the NBA. Yesterday were the full games of those 16 teams for the West and the East. Yesterday, it was the Utah Jazz and the New Orleans Pelicans, and the second game was the Los Angeles Clippers at the Los Angeles Lakers. The highlights I'm watching right now are the Pelicans game. It was an awesome game, man. I mean, the highlights are good. Right now, I'm in the third quarter of the Utah Pelicans highlights. They were down 60-69. Looked like it was a very close, intense game. Just looks like Utah struggled through most of the game, trying to stay close. But the Utah Jazz do come out on top, 106-104. So it was a really, really close game. Hope you guys really enjoyed the games yesterday. You can check out the highlights on YouTube at NBA YouTube page, and you can subscribe to it, get all the NBA highlights. But it looks like it was a real exciting game. I mean, even though it's isolated and things, they're still giving their all. They're still going 110% out there. They're still putting us on a good show. I'll just give you the top players that were in that game. You had Mitchell, who played 36 minutes, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, and 20 points. Colin Jr., 34 minutes, 1 rebound, 4 assists, and 20 points. Jordan Clarkson, he had 32 minutes, and he had 5 rebounds, 3 assists, and 23 points. And for the Pelicans, it was Brandon Ingram with 23 points. He played 33 minutes with 8 rebounds. The other top two players were Holiday with 36 minutes, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, and 20 points. Your other was Riddick, who had 26 minutes, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, and 21 points. So the team stats for that game, guys, field goals, it was 34 out of 84 for the Jazz versus the Pelicans, 40-94. 3-pointers, it was 8 out of 34 for the Jazz and 11 out of 31 for the Pelicans. No. Rebounds were 43 for the Jazz and 45 for the Pelicans. Assist, 17 for the Jazz, 22 for the Pelicans. Block 6 versus 2 to the Pelicans. 11 steals. They both had the same amount of turnovers, 20-20. Points in the paint, you had Jazz with 56 and you had the Pelicans with 48. So it just shows that Jazz really dominated the paint inside the key. Even though they struggled on 3 points and the field goals, they still came up on top. Jazz personal fouls had 25 and Jazz 23. So you can just see that it was a real close game by the stats. I mean, they were neck to neck. Just that, you know, they really put points up in the paint for the Jazz. I mean, they're just dominating inside that key. And that's probably what led them to their win. So in the fourth quarter, it was 32 seconds, 104-104. And Colbert puts down the dunk for the game winner with 6.9 on the clock. Oh, no, he was fouled. Never mind, the ball never went in. He was fouled. I'm sorry about that, guys. But let me correct myself. It was actually a foul, but Colbert made both his free throws, making it 106 to 104. Man, and Ingram almost with the game-winning three, but a break. Oh, man. What a tough, tough, tough break for the Jazz, man. I mean, Ingram, if he would have sunk that three, it would have been 107 to 106. I mean, that would have been an awesome finish to that opening game for them, you know, starting back up the season. But sadly, that game fell short. But another exciting game that I catched a little bit of highlights of yesterday were the Clippers and Lakers. It seemed like that game was close to as well. Let me get to those stats for you guys, and I'll let you know about those stats. That was another close one. These are actually some good opening games for the 16 games that they're having. It was 101 to 103, so that puts the Lakers at 51 and the Clippers at 44 and 22 for the record. The lead players in those games for the Clippers were Leonard with 33 minutes. He had 3 rebounds, 4 assists, and 28 points. Paul George probably had the most outstanding night with 34 minutes, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, and 30 points. So Paul George had a good night for the Clippers, putting up those points. Jackson, you had him with 10 points. Now for the Lakers players were basically on fire last night. I mean, Anthony Davis has been having some awesome plays. And he played for 35 minutes, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, and 34 points. LeBron James played 34 minutes with 11 rebounds, 7 assists, and 16 points. The other top player was Kazuma with 32 minutes, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, and 16 points. But Anthony Davis really putting up the points that night, man. You know, he really helped out that getting the win in that game of scoring those 34 points. I mean, even LeBron was having an awesome night, even though he didn't put up that many points. He had some highlight plays in those in that game. Same thing with Anthony Davis. Right on, man. James put down a big dunk in the second quarter, which was nice. Let's check the stats for these games, guys, and see how they did in their stats and see what got the Lakers the win here. So, with the field goal, I'll go out the percentages this time. You had a 43.2 percentage for the Clippers and a 39.0 for the Lakers. On the field goals, three-pointers was 44%. Three-pointers for the Lakers was 30%. Free throws, 75% and 75.7%. So they were doing good on their foul free throws. Offensive. Rebounds, they had 36, 45 assists. Clippers had 17, Lakers had 21. Blocks, Clippers had 5, Lakers had 3. Steals, Clippers had 6, Lakers had 6 steals. Turnovers, Clippers had 20. That probably what, you know, helped give Lakers that edge to win the game. Turnovers are really big deal. 16. Lakers only gave up points in the paint. Lakers basically dominated the paint. The key, so they probably, you know, given their end victory, just playing those inside plays, which their points in the paint were 40. Clippers only 24. So that's almost, you know, half of what Lakers were scoring inside the paint. Fouls personal. Clippers gave up 30 fouls versus the Lakers only gave up 27. So those bottom two were probably the ones that gave the Lakers the lead and the assist for the Lakers. I mean, you had 21 assists. You had 45 rebounds. They had 40 points in the paint. And they only gave up 27 fouls, you know, rather, you know, Clippers giving up 30 fouls. So it just shows that, you know, Lakers really did real well in the paint, even though they struggled outside. You know, the Clippers did a little bit better with the threes, but still fell short. Like I said, Lakers just had a tremendous night. It was a real good one. And the Lakers' ball movement is just so good. I mean, they're moving the ball. They're not holding it for long amount of time. Man, Davis with a three in the third with 2:10. Man. And Lakers are behind right now in the third quarter, 71-69. But Anthony Davis with another three to give him the lead in the third quarter with 113, 74-72. And Deion Waiter in the third quarter to tie up the game, 74-74. Man, but Green answers back for the Clippers with another three to make it 77-74. But Davis inside the paint to make it 76-77. Man, going in the fourth, 77-76, guys. But then Lakers cut it to 79-77. Man, the threes were keeping the Clippers in the game, guys. I mean, but Deion Waiter with the cover and the three to make it 82-80 in the fourth with 9:08. And then they take a 5-point lead. And then James with another three. Oh, man, to make it 88-80. So, you know, oh, man, Danny Green with another three. It just looks like Lakers just dominated in the paint for most of the game. And, man, they just started unleashing those threes, giving it up to their three-point players, you know. Giving them a 91-82. Pelicans this quarter right now with 6:51, making it 85-94, making it a 9-point game. Oh, what a fake, man. What a fake. Nice, man. A three from George to make it 98-99. Man, dude, Pelicans were behind 10 points and came back. Man, they started dominating in that paint, getting the ball to their open three-point players, playing real aggressive with the last minutes of the fourth. Lakers at 101-98. George with the three. Oh, and a three with nothing but net in coverage. making it 101 with 18 seconds, but let's see. Here comes the King. He puts one up, misses, gets his own rebound, and puts it back up. Oh, beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. Oh, man. What a way for James to catch his own rebound and put it back in. That was nice, man. That was awesome. Here we go. Oh, he goes for the three. Does he have it? No, man. Oh, man. He's asking for the foul. He's asking for the foul, man. Clippers come up short. Another three-pointer missed. Oh, man. That is nice. I'm not going to lie. Those were some nice opening games to this reopening of the end of the season to, you know, let these players play and give us a show. I mean, and they gave us a show, man. That was awesome. They played just like games are on the line. Which they are, man. I mean, Lakers are basically playing for the best record of the NBA right now with the Bucks. You know, Bucks being 53. If they win today, they go 54. Lakers are 51. Those are some good games to follow to see who comes out top with the highest record. I mean, the Lakers look good. I'm not going to lie. They struggled a little bit, but, you know, they stuck in that game and they played real well. They moved the ball. They played the paint real good. You know, save the threes till the end of the towards the end of the game, and those threes were just banking it for them. Clippers were coming back with their own threes, but just fell short with that last one. They even started playing physical at the end there in the paint to get back into the game with 101 and 101. But you know, the King with his missed shot and his own rebound, man, That's just the athleticism that LeBron James shows out there on that court, man. He is a very talented player. I know he gets a lot of criticism, but as a player myself, you know, from my own point of view, you know, LeBron is a good player. You know, like they do say in those sports, man, let the rings talk, you know, for them. I mean, he still got rings, guys. He still put up points. He's still playing at his full potential, man. I mean, I know he had a pretty, you know, didn't really have that big point that we're used to seeing LeBron's have, those 34 points. But, I mean, he's allowing these other younger guys to put up the points and stuff like that. Because I'm pretty sure, you know, they all know, hey, LeBron can do it, man. He can go out there and be that, you know, be that Kobe for that team and, you know, get those high points. But, I mean, I like that, you know, the thing I like about LeBron is that he involves his team. He passes the ball. And I think that's what really opens up LeBron's game. It's because it takes the pressure off of him and shows him that, hey, he's not the only star player on that game, that, you know, these guys are going to have to do more than just double up on LeBron. And so, you know, I'm really, really, really excited to see how the next game goes with Lakers. Like I said, you know, I'm a Lakers and a Kings fan. I am from California. Those are my two California teams, are the Kings and Lakers. But awesome, awesome scrimmages to start off with for these scrimmage games. Let's see what we got going on tonight, guys. Who's playing tonight? So right now, you got the Orlando Magic's 41 to 42 with the Brooklyn Nets. Brooklyn's still coming in with the better record with 30 to 34 and Orlando 30-35. So if Orlando wins this game, it'll put them over the Brooklyn Nets. But right now, it's in the second quarter. So far, it's 5 points for Orlando Magic's and 3 points for the Nets, 42-41. So if you guys want to catch that game, I'm pretty sure you can catch it on, I don't know. I think it's Fox Sports you can catch it on. So if you guys want to watch that game's going on right now. And you can look this all up on Google. Just type in NBA scores and it'll bring you up all the games for the day and highlights for our games from yesterday. And, you know, then it has videos for highlights that you can go to, and it'll take you to YouTube, to the NBA's YouTube channel. But yeah, those were real exciting games, guys. You know, I know it's kind of a bummer, you know, not hearing the fans getting involved into it, but hey, man, I mean, even though I'm at home, I still get very, very involved in the games, man. I'm a big sports fanatic. Like I said, you know, if I miss the games, I catch highlights as much as I can. But that's one of the things I want to talk to you guys about today, about the scrimmages today, or yesterday, and the ones going on today. The other ones you got going on today, you got the Suns and the Wizards playing at 2 p.m. You got Grizzlies and Trailblazers, Celtics and Bucks, Kings and the Spurs, Rockets and the Mavericks. The game I'm going to be most watching is probably the Celtics and Bucks. Those are two top East teams, I believe. Let's check it out. Yeah, 43-21 Celtics. And, you know, they're only 10 games behind the Milwaukee Bucks. So that should be a pretty, pretty good game, especially with the Celtics and Bucks. You know, being that Bucks are at the top of the East, they were at the top of the East when the pandemic had started and the NBA went off. So they're fighting to keep their record and being the best record in the NBA. Like I said, the Lakers are right behind them with 51 games. So if they lose here, it betters the Lakers' chance to get in that better record, NBA record. You know, only putting them 2 games behind, and if they win their next game, puts them at 52. So they'll only be 1 game behind the best record of the NBA. So very, very intense games probably coming up here soon, you know. I don't know when their matchups are, but let's see if it shows you on here when the matchups will be. So we probably won't have a Laker-Milwaukee Buck matchup until the end. But pretty much so far, it just looks like it's a bunch of, yeah. And we might not see that until towards the end. Yeah, it doesn't look like the Lakers and Bucks will meet up within these games. The games go all the way until, well, so far what the computer shows me, I mean, you got some games that said it to be announced or to be dated, but they do have dates all the way till 8-14, but these games are to be determined. Then we got up to 8-11. I'm pretty sure these games are to be determined because of the pandemic, and because we were supposed to have games, you know, back in early July, but, you know, sadly it started affecting some of the NBA players, so they had to push it back a little bit. But I don't know, I haven't read too much into it. I wonder if they're just gonna have, you know, like a like maybe a 1-game playoff game or 2 playoff game at the end, you know, to the 2 top teams that came out on top, maybe. But who knows? I mean, or they can just be all scrimmages just to, you know, give us a little ease off our minds and give us something exciting in our lives right now, you know, besides the pandemic. But that's all I have for you guys so far for sports today. Hope you guys enjoyed that part of the show today. Just getting the highlights of the game. Like I said, if you want to check out the highlights for yourself, You can go to YouTube and subscribe to the NBA YouTube channel there. And you can check up the scores and stats on Google. It'll bring it up for you. Take you straight to the NBA page. And see, look at, just like I said, I'm looking at the players right now in the news. Even says, you know, from The Ringer, about 6 hours ago, it was posted, the Clippers are built to beat LeBron, not Anthony Davis, which really showed, and like I explained, like, you know, when they go in these games and when they go through practices, you know, they think that just because LeBron puts up these high scores and, you know, they think he's the star player of that team. But, I mean, LeBron is actually good at building teams, you know, getting good players around him. That way the spotlight is just not always on him. You know, he has other weapons throughout the field that can dominate in the paint or outside the paint. You know, it just shows that that teams need to come up with a better strategy to take it on the Lakers. And, you know, but Anthony Davis really, really, really stepped up that game. Anthony Davis is a good player. Just real good execution on their plays. Really staying in that game and not letting it get away from them, even though they were behind a little bit. And then, yep, in Yahoo Sports, posted 15 minutes ago, Anthony Davis sizzles the court, but LeBron James closes in Lakers thrilling over Clippers with that, with his own rebound, guys. He puts it up. He's driving. He puts up a two, breaks it, sees the rebound, has a clear lane, goes up for it, puts it back in. I mean, that's just what LeBron does, man. He never stops. He is determined to put in those baskets, man. And he really showed it right there at the end of that game and shows why he is who he is and why it is what he does. So good job to the Lakers. Said there's more games today. It's also Friday, so a lot of good games right now that are going to be on today, guys. You can check your local listings and see if the games are playing in your area, or if you have to have the NBA package. But yeah, that's all I wanted to touch with you guys on this episode. You can catch my other episode before this about the sports world. You know, I was just talking a little yesterday about how sports are going and how they're coping with the COVID right now. I know yesterday I watched a little bit of Gruden's press conference for his game, or for his practices, his first practice. Like he says, it's a little difficult right now. I know they were asking him, you know, who stands out to him, but like he says, you know, it's a, right now with everything going on, it's just a difficult process. A lot of Viva Light satelliting, you know, not being able to have full practices with his players because of the pandemic, you know, trying to keep, you know, his team safe and, you know, work around things to try to get with those players and try to get them into the practices so they have much time on the practice field, you know, together. Like he says, you know, that's just real difficult now with the pandemic going on. I mean, you can even see with their press conference, even Viva Satellite, their press conferences, they, you know, they're isolated, you know, to keep coaches safe and players safe. If you want to catch more on it, one people I like to follow on YouTube is Mikey Raider. He's a good podcast, gets real into his podcasts. You can get him on YouTube, subscribe to his channel. He's always updating you on the latest Raiders news. I like his a little bit more better because he's really into it. He really goes into the you know, the trades, the drafts, you know, he really covers it all. So if you guys want to go catch Mikey Raider on YouTube, subscribe to his channel and check him out. Like I said, he's a real good filler for the Raiders. I already know that NBA said they're not going to have a preseason this year, so don't expect a preseason. They're just going to jump right into regular season. We're going to see how that does for teams. I know a lot of people really aren't into the preseason as much. They say it's just a waste of time, but me, myself, I think preseason is really important. You know, it's just to show you how your roster's going. Do you have the right players in the right spots? Was that the good draft for you? Are those plays working for you? I mean, are we executing on those? Is that going to work in the regular season kind of things? And then, you know, towards the end of the preseason, you know, it just gets filled with, you know, basically players that are going to get cut and they're just playing their, you know, sells to look good. Maybe they get picked up by other teams, you know, because just because they get cut doesn't mean it's always a loss. They can actually get picked up by other teams and things like that. So to me, preseason is not a total loss. It is actually good for some teams. I really think teams that don't really involve themselves are just overconfident about themselves. But I mean, like I said, I do like the preseason. It's exciting to watch because it actually is players playing for their careers, you know, trying to get their spot on that team for that season. And, you know, so, and, you know, people really don't see that because they just want, you know, that regular season hard hitting game. But like I said, preseason is good as well in itself if you really follow it and you really know what it's meant for and things like that. Like I said, those players that are playing in those preseason games are playing for spots, so they are playing their hearts out, man. They are going 110% out there to try to get themselves a spot on that team and, you know, not to get that pink slip. Because that's one thing Gruden brought up yesterday is that, you know, the cutting process has kind of changed now. Cutting players, picking up players, you know, that kind of makes it difficult with this pandemic and how they have to function and work around things during that pandemic. So I can see how it become real frustrating for coaches at this time. But they're getting through. It looks like they're getting through it, guys. And like he says, as it gets further down the road, then he'll start giving his, you know, who he thinks stands out and things like that. So I'll try to stay in touch with that and bring more of that to you guys with the game. But yeah, guys, I mean I don't mind the isolated sports. I mean, they're nice. It's nice that they're giving us some entertainment and trying to get our minds off the pandemic and other things that are going on in the world right now. I don't know if you guys saw yesterday a real disappointing video that I saw was the Michael Brown shooting, the officer that shot Michael Brown. The state prosecutor who took the case and was trying to fight justice for this family came out and said that he is actually not going to press charges against the officer, which is real, really sad. I feel really, really no closure for that family with that decision. That is sad. That just shows how unjust our justice system is. I mean, if you watch like those videos and the witnesses and things, I mean, I know it's all over and, you know, it jumps from witness to witness, you know, different stories, but one that really stands out and, you know, the one I go off is his best friend that was actually with him. I mean, he was actually walking with Michael Brown, like he says. I mean, I've watched every interview with him. His story really doesn't change. But, I mean, that's a sad thing that's going on in our country right now. I mean, a lot of protests happening. I'm pretty sure they're going to be high watch on that, especially with those decisions. They're saying that there's probably going to be protests for that, which I'm pretty sure there will be. But hopefully that family doesn't take that and they go back and fight it. Because, like I said, that really is sad. I mean, a gentleman even had outbursts and calling, you know, saying, you know, that our justice system is broke, man. I mean, to me, I feel it is within the system. You do have certain people that do get up there and try to build that structure to where it's in their favor and they have the right people in the right spots to help them get tough to get by their problems. You guys can actually look on Google, actually posted on my Facebook, because what I used to tell people is that, you know, there actually is a blue code within the justice system where a fellow officer, it's a wall of silence is what they call, where a fellow officer doesn't tell on another fellow officer, or, you know, doesn't give any input or anything like that to media, or they just stay quiet about it, basically, and which is really, really wrong. For one reason, it just feeds to secret societies within the system, which we are all aware about. I mean, there are some, you know, even from places to business to congressmen to anything of high power, it is abused by these people that do create their own little secret societies within it. You can actually watch a great speech by JFK where he talks about, you know, media cover-ups and stuff like that, and how media should be for, you know, should be bringing us real in-depth news instead of bringing us just, you know, basically just sugarcoating things. And talks about how there are secret societies within our United States, and which is real sad. I mean, people really don't look at things like that, but I mean, it's everywhere. I mean, everybody's probably had their fair share of it, but it's just real sad that they're not going to give that family any type of closure. I mean, it just makes me feel really disgusted with our justice system, man. Enough about that, guys. I don't want to bring your guys' day too much down because it is Friday, guys. It is a beautiful day out here where I'm at in Albuquerque, New Mexico. They're saying there will be scattered showers today throughout the day, which is normal for this time of year in New Mexico. It's monsoon season. Another thing I want to fill you in on, guys, is that here pretty soon I'm going to be starting my own YouTube channel. It's going to be fishing YouTube channel. First bits are just going to be about, you know, tackle, what baits to use. And since I live in New Mexico, I'll be talking about a lot of New Mexico locations of where to go. And even if you're new to fishing or you're just getting your kids out there to try and stuff, I'll give you good locations where you can take them and, you know, fun activities you can do out there while you're fishing. One thing I'm picking up on myself this year is fly fishing. I'm actually going to give a little try to fly fishing. Fly fishing is real big out here. I'm always up in Pilar, which is just south of Taos. And you go in there and it's the river. Sometimes it's real high during the runoff season or the monsoon season. I usually go around October-ish, from late August to early or mid-November, depending on the weather. The river up there gets real low, so where you can go fly fish. If you're just getting started, good locations to practice your fly fishing is Fitton Lake, but which you can't do right now because of the closures. Another good place, Tingley Beach has a good two separate ponds. They have a hook those catch and release where you can catch trophy size trout that they have in those ponds. But it is a catch and release. You can't use barb hooks. You have to use barbless hooks, special lures, not anything plastic that might harm the trout or the fish in the water. Then they have a catch pond too. It's filled with, they have some bass in there, catfish, trout, bluegill. So you guys can, that's a good place to take the family. I'm pretty sure you can't do too much gathering over there because of the closures. Like I said, we're still in stage two right now, I guess you can say, kind of. We have outdoor dining still. You can go to your local Walmarts, your Smiths. You can still go to your, to some places. But when you do visit those places, they are requiring you to wear a mask. So if you are going out to your local grocery store, guys, I do strongly suggest that you do wear your mask or they're just going to turn you away. I mean, that's one thing I want to touch, guys. I mean, is the mask wearing. We really got to get ourselves involved and come together and stop talking about, how it's our freedom not to wear one. Because our freedom is to help one another, too. And like I said, if people are just going to keep being anti-mask wearers, I know it doesn't do much for you, but it does protect the other person from your stuff. If you sneeze or cough and you can't get your hand there fast enough, the mask does help it and kind of keep it a little safe. But I mean, they even came out yesterday and showed you the myths and correct information about wearing masks. A lot of things that I heard about, is the CO2 getting to the brain, things like that. I mean, I don't feel anything like that when I have my mask on. The only thing that I do get is like cotton mouth. I get real thirsty and stuff, but that's why I keep myself hydrated. But other than that, I do wear my mask to help protect others around me. So I mean, to me, when I see a person without a mask and not wearing a mask, that just tells me, man, that person is probably a disgusting individual. They don't probably cover their coughs or their sneezes. They probably just sneeze out in public and cough and play that, oh, it's in the air. The air will just carry it away. But, hey, that stuff stays in the air for so many feet. It's already been proven. It's just sad that people think that way, and it's kind of to show them. I mean, you have somebody in the White House that had it. He didn't wear a mask, say he didn't need to. And then when he did contract COVID, he turned around and said that he just wasn't wearing his mask properly. No, you weren't wearing your mask properly. You just weren't wearing it at all. You had it around your neck. And like they say, he was in that, and who knows how long he had that COVID. So who knows how many more of those congressmen or representatives that he was around contracted that virus. You also had one of Trump's supporters that supported him and didn't wear a mask, and he contracted the virus, and sadly yesterday he passed. So that should just show people too that, hey man, this thing isn't no lie. It's real. I mean, cases are going up, deaths are going up. I was watching a lot of old news clips and how they say that the UK are getting some sort of control on this, and they are showing decreases, and we just keep going up, and that's embarrassing, especially as an American myself. That's embarrassing because we are the youngest country in the world. We're the young sisters, what they call. So basically, we're like the model for these older countries because of our democracy and our freedoms and our rights. But we're just actually just showing these other countries how selfish we are. How we really don't live by our constitutions and our creed. We're all against one another, which is sad. Instead of being one and coming together to help each other. You know, the things I see on the news with the riots, it's just sickening, man. It just shows us like how we really are divided, and all the civil rights that were fought through back in the day are just, you know, just sad that we're never fulfilled. We're still fighting for injustice. You know, hopefully things change and people's views starts to change, you know, as things go on. I mean, like I said, guys, if we keep going on without our masks and things like that, expect things to stay the way they are. They're already saying that if cases remain high, that 2020 is going to stay the same and it's going to go into 2021. I know they've been, you know, especially Trump's been promoting a vaccine, but I've been actually looking up myself. There is one, but right now it's a vaccine that if it does go through, you get one and then you get another dose within 30 days. But like they said, that goes out to like 350 something million Americans. And they said, you know, just look at how the testing went. So how do you think the vaccine's going to go? And like they said, it's not even a guarantee within that time. Even one gentleman came out and said that, you know, it might be 1 to 2 years before we see any results from these vaccines. And right now, I mean, these political guys, they're going to feed you anything that they can so they can get your vote. They're going to be at one another. They're going to blame one another. They're going to come with you and say there's solutions and things like that. But I say, you know, go look into it for yourself. You know, just look around you with the results. But that's just what I wanted to touch with you guys on today's show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed the first half. I know, like I said, it was kind of off script today. Talk to you a little bit about the highlights of yesterday's game. And just talk about my feelings on just recent events that are going on and my point of view. If you guys want to talk anything about it, just let me know or hit me up on my Facebook or my Instagram. I hope you guys have a good Friday and a good weekend. And I'll hope you guys listen in to the next show.